Turn into the fifth chapter of the book of Hebrews, verses 7, 8, and 9. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now keep this in mind. He became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. Hebrews chapter 12 and the first phrase of verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now let's put these two verses together. He is the author of eternal salvation. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Now I'm turning to Matthew for a text and a subject. Chapter 15 and verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. I call your attention to verse number 13, but he answered and said unto them, every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. You may be seated, and the Lord bless you tonight. I'd like to choose for a subject after reading these scriptures. The scriptures are very simple. The subject is very simple. The planting of the Lord. The planting of the Lord. God's children throughout the pages of the Bible has been called by different names. First of all, the Bible has called the children of the Lord sheep. He said, we are the sheep of his pasture. The Bible also has called Christians the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. And the Bible has also called the New Testament Christian believers lively stones. We are sheep, we are salt, and we are lively stones, and praise God, we are Christians. But there is another name that the Lord likened Christians, and that word is trees. Jesus spoke in his ministry concerning a good tree and a corrupt tree. So he likened Christians as trees. He said there is a good tree and there is a corrupt tree. When John the Baptist came preaching in Matthew chapter 3, this is what he said in verse number 10. The axe is laid at the root of the tree. Now he was not down somewhere in a forest of trees laying an axe down at the root of a tree, as we know a tree. He was talking about the people that came out to his baptism. The people that flocked out of the city, they came to hear him preach. He was a peculiar man with a peculiar dress and with a peculiar message. The axe is laid at the root of the tree. And every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down, he said, and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me, of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, John the Baptist was a great preacher. And when I read from Matthew chapter 15, the subject that Jesus was addressing this congregation as he talked about a great truth, and they became so offended at his saying. And the disciples reminded the Lord, said, "The Pharisees has become very offended at what you said." But the Lord said, "Let them alone." He said, "They're blind." He said, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up." Now, I might as well tell you in the very outset of this message tonight, everything that he's not the author and the finisher of, and everything that he has not planted, and everything that he has not built, one day will come to naught, will go down in the dust of defeat to never rise again. But this Bible tells me that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. My text said tonight that he is the author of eternal salvation. Hallelujah! We know tonight beyond the shadow of a doubt who built this church, who started this church, who inspired this church. We know beyond a doubt who is coming for this church. Hallelujah! We know the purpose of the church. We know the purpose of the body of Jesus Christ. We know what it is. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He is the author of eternal salvation. He is the head of the church. He's the foundation of the church. He's the builder of the church. And one day he shall return for the church that he shed his blood for. And that church is a New Testament church. Hallelujah. Now I'm getting ready to preach. Isaiah chapter 61 in the first three verses. Jeremiah chapter 17 verses 7 and 8. And Psalms 104 and verse 16. Now we're going to notice some things tonight about the planting of the Lord. Now I'm not sowing oats tonight. I'm not planting corn. I'm going to show you what the Bible teaches concerning the planting of the Lord. Now, I know a lot of people, they've read the Bible. They've read the Bible and they've read the Bible. And let me tell you one thing. Learning to quote the Bible, my memory, is not understanding the Bible. That's not understanding the Bible. I've seen people that could quote verse after verse and chapter after chapter and book after book, but yet when they got through, they had no meaning as to what the scriptures really meant when they quoted the Bible. John 5:39, Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they that testify of me. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Holy men of God wrote as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost." The Bible is not a book that was given by carnal-minded men, but the Bible is the book that was given by divine inspiration. And in this Bible, we find the words of eternal life. The word inspiration means God breathed. He breathed upon it. It's alive tonight. Jesus said, "The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 61, the first three verses.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me.
Because the Lord hath anointed me.
Because the Lord has anointed me.
To preach good tidings unto the meek.
To preach good tidings unto the meek.
He has sent me to bind up
he
the brokenhearted.
He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted.
To proclaim liberty to the captive.
To proclaim liberty to the captive.
And the opening of the prison.
And the opening of the prison.
To them that are bound.
Thank God for that tonight. The opening of the prison to them that are bound. He came to bind up the brokenhearted.
Yes.
He came to bring glad tidings
yes.
unto the meek.
Hallelujah.
I don't have a message of despair tonight. I have a positive, God-given message in that book tonight that will explain why we are doing what we are doing and why we believe what we believe. I appreciate honesty. You know, when people first get the Holy Ghost, they don't know very much about God nor the Bible. Nothing about church. And a man, now this may seem a way out, but this actually happened. A man didn't know anything about God, but he got the Holy Ghost. And he was so honest, and I appreciate that in anybody. It may sound funny, but when you find honesty in somebody, God's going to bless that honesty. He'll bless that sincerity. He stood up in church one Sunday night. He said, I have the Holy Ghost. He said, my children, they play marbles in the backyard. But he said, I feel condemned because they're playing marbles. And he said, I put a stop to it. He said, because the Bible said to marvel not. Now, that may seem so silly to you and to me that has been in the church for a long time. But to him it was honesty. It was sincerity. Oh, hear me tonight, my friends. We need to realize who we are and what we are. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. And when somebody would question you about your standard, never lay the blame off on the church. Well, they teach that, and I go along with it. Why don't you be man enough or a woman enough to stand up and say, I have my deep-rooted conviction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If they ask you why you don't smoke and drink and carouse, but don't say the pastor preaches against it, and I go along with it just because he preaches against it, you ought to stand up and say, thank God, I read in the Bible where the Lord came to bring glad tidings to the meek. Hallelujah. He came to open up the prison house to those that are bound. He came to set the captives free. Hallelujah. And I don't do these things because I am free. Hallelujah. I lived in a place one time where you could park in the back of a hotel and walk through the lobby out on the main street. And I could always park in the back. And one day I had parked and was going into this hotel. When I got inside the door, there was a big crowd. And I asked a man standing next to me, I said, what's going on in here? He said, that lady over there is having her coming out party. And I looked over there. Well, I said, she almost made it. I couldn't tell whether she was in trying to get out or out trying to get in. The dress she had on was neckless and backless and strapless and reckless. She had on a meat market dress. Did I ever tell you what a meat market dress is? That's a dress that exposes all the backbone and most of the spare ribs. Every woman and every man ought to dress in a manner that becometh a child of God. Hallelujah! Somebody said that don't make any difference. It makes all the difference in the world. I met a girl coming down the street the other day. She didn't have on enough clothes to flag a hand car. And she was walking right toward me, and I'm not blind. And I looked at her. Her knees reminded me of two mud turtles sitting on a log somewhere down in the creek. It is honest to God a shame for men and women to get on the streets in public in the kind of garb that they dress in today. Somebody said it don't make any difference. It makes all the difference in the world. Hallelujah. Why, Adam and Eve had enough modesty about them when they realized they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Oh, damn it, tonight we have lost decency. We've lost modesty. We've lost morals in this country tonight. But thank God for a church that can stand up and preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. You might not like this kind of preaching. Hallelujah. Now let's read on. To set the captives free, let's see what his purpose was in coming.
To proclaim the acceptable year
of the Lord. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
And the day of vengeance.
And the day of vengeance.
Of our God.
Of our God.
To comfort all that
mourn. To comfort all that mourn.
To appoint unto them.
To appoint unto them.
That mourn in Zion.
That mourn in Zion.
To give unto them beauty.
To give unto them beauty.
For ashes.
For ashes. Oh, let me tell you, a lot of us, when we came to God, all we had to offer God was a handful of burned out ashes. But he gave us beauty for our ashes. Hallelujah. Thank God, when we came, we were burned out and burned down. But he gave us beauty.
Beauty.
I said he gave us beauty.
Beauty.
He gave us beauty.
Beauty.
That natural beauty.
Yes.
Beautify the meek with salvation. Back years ago when we used to have to take our shirts to the laundry, now you know it's wash and wear. And I'd take my shirts every Monday morning, and that girl that was in the front of this laundry, about every 2 or 3 months, I'd go in and she would have a different color of hair. It was black one time, and blonde one time, and red one time. Well, that old girl that had her hair dyed so many times until her dandruff was in technicolor. I'm preaching something tonight, and before I get through, listen, I'm leading up to something. Brother, I'm going to show you something tonight that we are not what we used to be. Something has happened to us. We've had a transformation. We've had a change of heart. We've had a new spirit. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm going to show you what makes us different. Read on, brother. Here it is right here.
The oil of joy for mourning.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning.
For mourning.
You know, I watch people when they come in church. Do you all watch people when they come in church? They got a Bible, and from the way they look, it looks like they've got a date with a flogging machine. And when they get out at 12 o'clock, it looks like they have been flogged. I love to see people come into church with that word of God and say, I was glad when the Son unto me come, and let us go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, let us come and go to the house of the Lord. That's what I like about it. I said, that's what I like about it. And I'll tell you, I've never dealt with so many nervous folks in my life. I think everybody I meet is nervous. Just as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs.
Yeah.
Everybody's nervous, about to have a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
Got to take a pill to go to sleep by and a pill to get up by.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, there's something in this book tonight that's called the Holy Ghost and Fire. I want to tell you, brother, it'll put something on the inside. It'll put a wheel to turning. Hallelujah. It'll put joy in your soul. He said, I'll give you the oil of joy for mourning. But joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Yes, it is. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Joy. in the Holy Ghost. The oil of joy. The oil of joy. Read on now. Notice what he said.
The garment of praise.
Oh, the garment of praise.
For the Spirit of heaven.
Now notice. The garment of praise for the Spirit of heaviness. Let me tell you something that I've learned by experience. When you get in a tight corner, don't give up. Start praising God. Yes, start praising God. Yes, start praising God. When it seems that God is a million miles away, just start praising God. You just start praising God. And before you know it, you'll feel that warm glow of that oil of joy when it begins to move in your heart. Just start praising God. Just start praising the Lord. Hallelujah. The oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise. Slip it on tonight. Put it on tonight. The garment of praise. Put it on. Make that part of your attire. Put it on. Hallelujah. Get dressed up tonight. Praise God. Get dressed up tonight. With joy. With joy. With joy. Can you draw water from the wells of salvation? The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Now notice what he said.
That they might be called trees.
That they might be called trees.
Of righteousness.
Of righteousness. The planting
of the Lord.
Read it again. That they might be called.
Trees of righteousness.
The trees of righteousness.
The planting of the Lord.
The planting of the Lord. Who are those trees? It's a lover of righteousness. Lovers of holiness, we've exchanged the sadness the world brings, and we've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. We pull off that old garment of heaviness, and we put on our garment of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Glory. If everybody would just start praising God right now, you'd shake these lights up here.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Somebody said the reason I don't come into Pentecostal church. You make too much noise. This is the quietest world you'll ever be in. When you get to heaven, there'll be 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of all saying with a loud voice. If you go to hell, you'll hear 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands begging for one drop of water to cool my tongue. Now, which is the best? Which is the best? I said, which is the best? Brother, this works. I said, this works. And listen, let me tell you something. When some old rough individual comes in from off of the street, if he's been a fighter and a drunkard and loudmouth, he's a barroom brawler. When he comes in, don't kill his zeal, but get his zeal sanctified. Get his zeal sanctified. If he shouted and hollered for the devil, let him shout and holler for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Don't kill him when he comes in. Just get his zeal sanctified. Hallelujah. Let him praise God. He was out there in the world praising God, fighting, going to jail, drinking liquor, smoking, gambling, lying, fighting, cheating, and everything else. But when he comes in, just say, brother, stick your feet under the table and help yourself. Because you are now a tree of righteousness because you have been planted by the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. Now we're talking about the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Read it. Blessed is the man
that trusteth in the Lord.
That trusteth in the Lord.
And whose hope.
And whose hope.
The Lord is.
The Lord is. Come on.
For he shall be as a tree
oh.
planted by the waters.
He shall be as a tree that's planted down in the desert.
Planted by the water.
Oh, somebody said, I am so dry in my soul. I preached in places where they were just as dry as a last year's bird nest. Just as dry as they could be. I preached in a church back quite some time ago. And I'll tell you, it was like preaching to a lumber yard. And when I got ready to leave that night, I went out to the car and I opened the door. And I said, now I want to get one more look at that church. I got one more look at it, laid my Bible down, got in the car, and drove off. And I looked back through the back glass. Well, I said, there's one thing. If the Lord should come tonight, this church would be the first one to rise. For the Bible said the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Let me tell you the reason folks are drying their soul tonight. They're living in the desert. If you're dry tonight, pull up your tent stakes and move down to the river. Hallelujah. That's right. Move down. Move down to the river. Move down where the water is. Hallelujah. And just as sure as I preach to you tonight, you'll have joy. Joy is an attribute of a Christian. The world's got the frown. They've got the misery. And we've got the peace. We've got the peace. They shall be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Now let's read that verse again. Verse 7, Jeremiah.
Blessed is the man.
Blessed is the man.
That trusteth in the Lord.
That trusteth in the Lord.
And whose hope.
And whose hope.
The Lord is.
The Lord is. Read on.
For he shall be as a tree.
He shall be as a tree.
Planted by the waters.
Planted by the waters.
And that spreadeth out her roots.
That spreadeth out her roots.
By the river.
By the river. Now, come on.
And shall not see.
And shall not see.
When heat cometh.
When heat cometh.
But her leaf.
But her leaf.
Shall be green.
Shall be green. Shall be green. You know, when the devil comes and he hits you in the face, but you don't fall. He hits you in the back. You still don't fall. Then he starts on the side and he hits you real hard. You still don't fall. Our help is not visible. It's invisible. He'll try to throw you. But your roots of your soul has gone down deep in the soil. And they got to searching under that soil until they found the river. Hallelujah. Until they found the river. Let me tell you, my friends, our weapons are not carnal. We don't fight with a sword. You know how Jesus won? He did not win by sword. He won by power. When he got down humble, girded himself with a towel, and washed the feet of his creation. That's how he won. And that's how we're going to win. We can't go out and fight and scratch and just keep a fight our way through. Leave it up to the Lord. The battle is His. Hallelujah. The battle is His. Oh, if everybody tonight could realize what I'm talking about, and I believe you do, let the roots of your soul go down in the soil. And when the roots get down, they will begin to search until they find this river of water. And when they find this river of water, I want to tell you that when heat comes, you will live right on for God. When the winter time comes, you will still live right on for the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, if you're deep enough in God, the season will have no effect upon you. Someone asked me not long ago why it was that there were so many icebergs in the pew. I said, because there's so many polar bears in the pulpit. All the preaching ought to get on fire. That's why all the preaching ought to get on fire. When you can walk down the aisle and knock icicles off the chins of the deacons, it's time to have a Holy Ghost revival. Listen, this Holy Ghost was not born in a refrigerator, but it came in a fire on the day of Pentecost, and the fire is still burning tonight. Hallelujah. This will melt the icicles out of your heart. Yeah. Yes, it will. It'll put you on fire. Listen, I'm a fire all over right now. Thank God I feel it from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Thank God! Thank God! Hallelujah! Why don't some of you older saints out there tonight, don't leave all the shouting to the young ones. Why don't you stand up and praise the Lord right now? Some of you old folks out there tonight. Hallelujah! Thank God. Hallelujah! Well, glory! Woo! The trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. You're down by the river tonight. I said you're down by the river tonight. I said you're down by the river tonight. You've left the desert. You're down by the river. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Get your blessing tonight, friend. Let him bless you. Praise God. Just open up and let him bless you tonight. Hallelujah. Now, I have a few minutes left. Praise God. This is Pentecost in action tonight. Thank God. I don't believe in formalism, rituals. We've just turned this over to the Holy Ghost tonight. But I would like to read Psalms 104 and verse 16. Let's notice what this scripture had to say. It's very important.
The trees of the Lord are full of sap.
The trees of the Lord are full of sap. Now, what is sap to a tree? It's life. Everybody say life.
Life.
What is the Holy Ghost to us tonight?
Life.
Life. Life. This is not a morgue. This is not a funeral. Oh, we have been spiritually resurrected out of sin, out of darkness, into the marvelous light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have had questions, and I know all ministers has. The question is always this. Is it wrong to do this, or is it wrong to do that? Nobody ever asked me, is it right? It's always, is it wrong? Now, maybe some of you don't know. I would imagine most of you are city folks. And I have a definition for city folks. City folks are country folks that come to town so they can work in the shade. I don't mind to tell you where I came from. I was born and reared 12 miles behind the post office. We had running water in our house. You grabbed a bucket and run outside and got it. I've never forgotten my humble beginning, and I never will forget it. I'm not ashamed to tell you that. No, sir, not ashamed of it. From the country, way back in the country. It's a country boy. Knew nothing about God. I fell on my knees and received the Holy Ghost. I went to the altar at 10 o'clock. That's when we had revivals. This was in a dwelling house. Didn't even have a preacher. I went to the altar at 10 o'clock. I prayed through the next morning at 4. It stuck. Still sticking tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And where I came from, if you were going to take in 40 acres of land to farm, you'd go down with an axe. At a certain time of the year, you'd cut a ring around the trees. They'd die. Why? Because the vital flow of sap could not come from the roots up into the trunk of the tree. When that sap was cut off, the tree died. Here's what's wrong. I never forget what I'm going to tell you. Here's what's wrong. Anything that will block that vital flow of the Holy Ghost in your soul, that is wrong. I don't care how little it is. I don't care how big it is. Anything that will keep the Holy Ghost from moving through your soul, that is wrong. You hear me tonight? That's wrong. And here's where we have missed it. I do not come tonight with a negative message, but we have missed it to this extent. We're watching for the big things, to guard the big things out of our lives. And while we've taken up our time guarding the big things, the little things will slip in. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. The termites do not come upon your front porch and ring your doorbell and say, "I've come to eat your house down." Before you know it, the termites are underneath your house. They're in the woodworks and they haven't consumed before you know it. The little things, the little foxes are spoiling the vines. While we keeping out the big things, why don't we keep out the little things? The little things, the big things, anything, anything that will block that vital flow of the Holy Ghost in your heart or in my heart is wrong, and I don't care what it is. Jesus in John chapter 4 met the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well. He said, "Give me to drink." She said, "How is it you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me? I'm a woman of Samaria." The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus said, "Go call your husband." She said, "I don't have one." He said, "You said right, you've had five, and now the one you have is not your husband." That must have been a good-looking old gal. She had went through with five husbands, and she just didn't go to the trouble to marry, and she just shacked up with the sick one. And Jesus said, "Whosoever drinketh of this water will thirst again." He was not only talking about the well of Jacob. People are drilling their own wells tonight. The well of pleasure, the well of lust. Ever what they're digging tonight, digging a well, drilling a well, trying to get by. But you hear me? Whosoever drinketh of this water will thirst again. From the well you are digging tonight, drink from it, you will thirst again. But Jesus said, "The water that I shall give you, you will never thirst again. But that water will be in you a well, a well, a well of living water springing into everlasting life." If we've ever needed Holy Ghost preaching, Holy Ghost living, Holy Ghost worship, Holy Ghost churches, we need those kind of churches tonight. We can't be like other people and maintain what we are having in this room tonight. Praise God, praise God. This is worship. This is worship. Sometimes I feel like pastors are no more than cheerleaders. They've got to stand out front and get everybody worked up. Listen, you hear me, what Jesus said, John chapter 4. The water that I shall give you will be in you a well. It's a well. It's a well of living water. Springing. 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 Did you ever try to stop up an artesian well? Take a garbage can full of garbage and go out and pour it in this artesian well. From the bowels of the earth, there's pressure behind that water. As fast as you pour in the garbage, this artesian well will push it out. That's the way every preacher and every saint of God ought to be. When the devil comes with his garbage and tries to pour it into your soul, you ought to have enough of this springing water just to wash it out. Just to wash it out. Just to wash it out and let it go. I've always been concerned about teeth. The way I preach, if I ever lose my teeth, I'll never be able to preach with store-bought teeth. I'd blow them things out just like a corn sheller would blow out corn. I don't believe I could do it to save my life. And I talked to my dentist. I said, I've heard that you can have all your teeth pulled, then put post in your gums. And then you can fasten teeth to that, just like your permanent teeth. He said, it will work, and it might not work. I said, why? Well, he said, when God made you, He made you with something in your body. You can get a briar or a splinter in your hand or your foot. Just leave it alone. When that body recognizes there's a foreign element in that body, it goes to work to throw it off. And he said, we tried this and a lot of people in the mouths and said, it just don't work. When that body discovers there's a foreign element in there, it goes to work and said, the post will honestly come out of their mouth. I got a message right there. If you are spiritual, I mean if you really have this living water in your heart tonight, when a foreign element will move in to rob you of your spirituality, that Holy Ghost will go to work. It'll go to work. It'll throw out that foreign object. It'll push it out. It'll throw it out. It'll get it out of the way. There's no need for anybody to backslide. There's no need for any preacher to quit. Praise God. All you've got to do is to move out of the desert and get down close to the river. Hallelujah. And get a real good old time renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
I want John 7:37. I'm going to show you what that water is that Jesus Christ was talking about. It's going to be in you a well. Not just a little trickle. It's going to be a well. A bubbling well. A well that will overflow. Praise God. John 7:37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Let him come unto me and drink. I read not long ago, there's so many people sniffing cocaine until the plastic surgeons in this country are getting rich. They're burning out the inward part of their noses, and these surgeons are rebuilding their noses. Let me tell you, friend, we don't sniff, we drink. Hallelujah. Thank God, that's right. We don't sniff, we drink. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come unto me and drink. Praise God, come unto me and drink. Come unto me and drink. And drink. And drink. And drink. And drink. Read now. Notice what he said.
In that last day.
In the last day.
That great day of the feast.
That great day of the feast.
Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me
and drink. Drink. Read it.
He that believeth on me.
He that believeth on me.
As the scripture hath said.
As who has said?
As the scripture has said.
As grandma has said.
As the scripture has said.
As grandpa has said.
As the scripture has said.
He that believeth on me.
As the scripture has said.
Now what's going to happen to him?
out of his belly.
Out of his belly.
Shall flow.
Shall flow.
Rivers.
Rivers.
Of living water.
Rivers. Rivers. Shall flow. Rivers.
Rivers.
Of living water. Shall flow. Rivers. Rivers. Shall flow rivers of living water. Read on. But this spake he of the Spirit.
Which they that believe on him should receive.
Which they that believe on him should receive.
For the Holy Ghost.
For the Holy Ghost was not yet given.
Because
Jesus
was not yet
glorified. But since that day he's been crucified, buried, resurrected, and glorified. Now, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is that living water. The Holy Ghost is that river of life. Thank God, thank God. Jeremiah 2:13, my people have committed two evils. They have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Oh, hear me tonight. What kind of vessel are you tonight? I said, what kind of a vessel are you tonight? There was an old boy. Every revival, he'd get saved. He'd come and pray. Dear old saint of God, been in the church a long time. She watched him. So in this revival, he came back to the altar. And she went and got right down beside him. He said, God, take the cobwebs out of my soul. That old lady said, son, pray for God to kill the spider and there won't be any spider web. You just got to have a renewing. Just a complete overhauling every once in a while. And that's what we're getting here tonight from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, we've tapped into the main line tonight. I said we've tapped into the main line tonight. A lot of camp meetings I preach, everybody goes home on the last day. You know, they get tired. But we got a bigger crowd tonight than we had last night. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like what I see. I like what I feel. And I like what I'm preaching tonight. Hallelujah. Thank God. Glory. Glory. Praise God. This salvation demands a price. I'll be frank with you. It demands a price. You won't go downtown on Monday morning and see salvation has been marked down, had price. This still takes dedication, consecration, prayer meetings, Bible study, going to church. That's what I'm doing. Glory. Hallelujah. I'll be frank with you. I'm a bargain hunter. I preach that it's almost a sin to pay regular retail price for anything. But in these bargains, you get what you pay for. I was holding a meeting, and I saw a big ad in the Sunday's paper. And I went down. They had socks on sale. Beautiful. And I found out why they had to put 6 pairs in the package so you couldn't examine them. Then I picked out me 6 pair in that package, and I couldn't hardly wait till I got to the house. Put them on. And when I got to the house and I tore the things open and I pulled off my shoes and socks and I got a sock for the right foot and I put it on, and the more I pulled, the more it stretched. Why, that sock came up to here. That's the most sock that I ever got in a sock since I've been buying socks. Well, I said, I sure got my money's worth there. Then I put the other sock on the left foot. I pulled and I tugged and I got it up just above my ankle. So you really get what you pay for. You really do. You get about what you pay for. This will never come cut rate. Same price, same dedication, same preaching. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's so many things now that's being recalled. Cars, everything. They make them so cheap now. Everything's recalled. Man got up early one morning, went out to get in his car to go to work, and there's a fellow sitting down behind his car with a hose and a can. He was drawing out his gasoline. And the fellow walked around, and this man jumped up. He said, I am from the gas company, and your gasoline has been recalled. This will never be recalled. This will never be recalled. This is it. This is it. If we get saved, this is it right here. Praise God. This is it. It'll never be recalled. God sent it out. It's perfect when He sent it out. It's perfect now. Hallelujah. And it's going to last until the last one gets saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I've got a little time left. And I never wanted to preach so bad in all of my life as I do right now. The book of Colossians, I want to turn there, and I want you to read this scripture for me. Colossians. And this scripture that I'm fixing to read right now should mean a lot to everybody. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Now notice what he said. Giving thanks
Unto the Father,
which hath made us
meet to be partakers
of the inheritance
of the saints in light.
Read it.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness
and hath translated us
into the kingdom
of His dear Son. Good. Now read the 14th verse.
In whom we have redemption.
Through his blood.
Even the forgiveness.
Of sins. Now, you're looking at a very peculiar fellow tonight. I've been born twice. Died once. Buried once. Resurrected once. And still alive. We've already been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now let me make a little illustration. If you're going to transplant a tree, what do? You dig it up. And that's why a lot of folks don't come to our churches. Because we dig them up. Now if you're going to be a tree of righteousness, if you're out there in the forest of sin, somebody's going to have to dig you up. David said, I remember the pit from whence I was digged. There's some digging that goes on. I said, some digging that goes on. You've got to dig around that tree. You've got to take it from this forest over here to your yard or into this forest. That's what God has done for us. We were out here in the forest of sin as a tree. But the gospel dug us up. And He transplanted us into the church, into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I held a tent meeting well over 40 years ago now, and I never will forget that tent meeting. I never in my life slept as many mosquitoes and fought as much devil in one place as I did in that meeting. We stayed 4 weeks and baptized well over 100 in Jesus' name, and more than that received the Holy Ghost. I never will forget the first night I could see that old tent in that cow pasture, the flaps waving in the breeze, tent full the first night. I never saw as many mosquitoes on top side of this earth. They came to church. And down south, we have mosquito guns. Did you ever see any? They're about so big, a hold of half a gallon of mosquito dough. You put that fluid in that little gun, and you pump like this. And it creates a spray. We sprayed that tent every afternoon. It didn't do too much good. We had to have some of the men go down about twice or three times during the service to spray between the pews. We had so many mosquitoes. And there's one of these highfalutin, high society ladies. She heard that everybody in the country was getting this religion. So she'd never been. So she decided to go one night. And just as she drove up, the men was going down the aisle spraying. Why, she said, no wonder everybody in that country is getting that religion. Said they got it in a spray gun and they're spraying it on everybody. I wish it was that easy. They told me when I first went, said, now it's all right to go to the show, but you watch the preacher. Every one of them has a handkerchief, and they got something in it. And if they can ever get some of that on you, you can't shake out under it. You'll be a Pentecostal as long as you live. If I had something in this handkerchief that I could get and put it on you and let you get what I'm talking about, I'd go back to my hotel room, I'd get me a bed sheet, and I'd fill it full, thank God, and we'd have a revival in this country like you've never seen before. But it don't come like that. It comes when you believe on Him, as the Scripture has said. And in this meeting that night, I preached on Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And a fellow met me down the aisle that night. Now, I would not offend any good Baptist people, but he was a Baptist deacon. He walked up to me. He said, I never heard such preaching in my life. He said, singing. Said, I never heard nothing like it. I've never been in a tent meeting. Never heard of Pentecost. Don't know nothing about it until this meeting. He said, I own a dairy in town. He said, tell me where you're staying, and I'll have the boys to leave you a half a gallon of sweet milk on the front porch every morning. And I told him. He came back the next night. He met me down the aisle, the third night, the fourth night, the fifth night. But the sixth night, I had my double barrel that night, and I loaded it with anvils, sharp hammers, railroad spikes, and everything I could get. I pulled back both hammers and let her fly. That deacon never met me down the aisle that night. When I looked back, I was wringing wet with sweat. My hair was down in my face. I slipped out of the back of the tent, and before he knew it, I laid my hand on his shoulder. I said, hello, deacon. I said, what's your problem tonight? Oh, he said, I'm sick. I said, yeah? His wife just busted out the laughing. I wouldn't take a $100 bill for that. She just went to laughing. She said, Brother Gamble said, he's not sick. Said, he's mad. In my mind, I said, goodbye, sweet milk. No more. I said, what's your problem? He looked up at me. He said, if what you preach the prayer tonight's the truth, and he said, I guess it is. He said, you read it out of the Bible. Bro. He said, when it comes to religion, I don't have an ounce. Pray for me that I'll get the Holy Ghost. I could have patted him on the back for 4 weeks and have sent him to hell. I let him have it. I dug him up. I dug him up. I mean, dug him up. Dug him up. That's right. I dug him up. The gospel got a hold of him. And after he had left the tent, I told the church, I said, now let's pray for him. He wants the Holy Ghost. The next morning I woke up early and I raised up the window shade and looked out, and sure enough, that sweet milk was still sitting on the front porch. He came back the next night, but the next night he came. Brother, that old boy went to the altar. He bared his two knees in a pile of sawdust. At 2 o'clock the next morning, they knew in that town that deacons could get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of the best saints I ever saw in my life got mad when they heard the gospel. That's right. They got fighting mad. I mean, they wanted to fight everybody in the church. They got dug up. They got dug up. That's what we ought to do tonight, is get everybody dug up around here. Hallelujah. Then when you get them dug up, you can plant them. Now, somebody said, how in the world are you going to connect that? Now, how are we going to get planted? You just hold on a minute. I am. That's right. Romans chapter 6. Now, Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. You are baptized into his death. That is the planting of the Lord. Hallelujah. Baptism in Jesus' name. And then he said, you'll be in the likeness of his resurrection. That's receiving the new life, the Holy Ghost life. Hallelujah. So the planting of the Lord is baptism in Jesus' name and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then you become the planting of the Lord. We might as well confess. We have buried quite a number of people through the years that were not dead. And they scratched out. Repentance means death. Now, who fusses when somebody in your family dies? Who fusses about where they're going to bury Aunt Jane or Aunt Sally? It's the in-laws and the outlaws that does the fussing. The corpse don't say a word. I was holding a meeting. It was cold weather. Had a baptist in the church. A fellow came and said, I want to be baptized, but he said, I want to be baptized in running water, and it's too cold to go to the river. Oh, I said, if that's all that's holding you back, I said, you come on. I said, I'll fill up the baptistry, then pull the plug out, and I'll turn the hydrant on, it'll be running in and running out. I said, that's running water. That's, listen, that's stupidity. Just so it's enough water to bury you, to baptize you. Hallelujah. You hear me preaching tonight? I believe what I'm talking about. We're the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. He put us in the body as it pleased him. Hallelujah. He's the one that put you in the church. Signing a card, shaking hands with a preacher, blinking your lights at a drive-in with some preacher preaching, that don't put you in the kingdom. You repent. You get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and receive the Holy Ghost. That puts you in the body of Christ. We buried a lot of them. Back before they embalmed people. Now, I know I'm getting pretty old. I can remember that too, when they didn't embalm people. Some people they thought had died, but they didn't die. They came alive. And there was a fellow, his wife died, and they ready for the funeral. Had her in the casket. See, they couldn't keep them out very long then. When the pallbearers started in the gate of the cemetery, they bumped the casket, and she come alive. Went back home and lived 6 months. She died again. Had a funeral. Started in the gate. The husband said, slipped around to the pallbearers. He said, boys, don't bump the gate for me. You get it when you die. You get it when you die. Die to sin. Die to yourself. Die to pride. Die to everything that's unlike God. Repent of your sins. Come to God. Get baptized in his name. That's being baptized into his death. Receive the spiritual resurrection. Hallelujah. When you come out of the grave, receive the Holy Ghost.